Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi there, and welcome again to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to talk about an aspect of Nazi state repression that I think goes slightly overlooked sometimes, but I think is hugely important. And it was the incarceration of those considered to be asocial. Now, if you consider the origins of Nazi policy were based in racial thinking, then you can see the treatment of asocials, of those who did not fit into the Nazi social schema, as being an aspect of racial policy. Hitler wanted not only to create discriminatory legislation and repression against the Jews and ethnic minorities within Germany, such as the Roma or the Black Germans, but also to what he viewed as being to reform and to eradicate the social ballast of Aryan Germans. So his treatment of asocial or kind of misfit or degenerate Aryan Germans was part of his development, his transformation, as he saw it, of the Aryan race, and by extension, a racial policy in its own right. So for this today, we're going to return to the brilliant work of Nicholas Rushton. Now, if you listen to this podcast fairly regularly, you'll know that I've used Rushton's brilliant book, KL, as a guide to understanding the camp system. And really, it's a foremost piece of scholarship. Nicholas Rushton writes, Heinrich Himmler had big plans for his camps. In a secret speech in November 1937, he told SS leaders that he expected the three KL for men, Dachau, Sachsenhausen and Buchenwald, to hold 20,000 prisoners in all, and even more in the case of war. This was an ambitious aim, at a time when his camps held fewer than 8,000 prisoners. But Himmler's target was quickly reached and exceeded in 1938-39, during a frantic period that saw the foundation of three camps at Flossenbürg, Mauthausen and Ravensbrück. Thanks to large-scale police raids, prisoner numbers climbed fast, and by the end of June 1938, there were already 24,000 or more inmates in the camps, a threefold increase in just 6 months. Even that was not enough for police and SS leaders, who soon envisaged a further rise to 30,000 inmates and more. As the size of the prisoner population changed, so did its composition, moving ever further away from the preponderance of left-wing German prisoners that characterised the camps early on. Camp SS officials struggled to keep up with all the new prisoner groups. In Sachsenhausen, for example, five separate prisoner groups in early 1937, became 12 groups in late 1939. Among the new prisoners were thousands of foreigners, after Nazi leaders began to flex their muscles on the international stage. Of course, this would have meant the annexation of Czechoslovakia, of the Sudetenland, and then the rest of the Czech provinces of Czechoslovakia. So what happened in the with the expansion of the camps, as was mentioned there, was this change in demographics. And that surely must have meant a repurposing of the camps, instead of being tools to break the left, which was already fundamentally broken by the mid-1930s, soon they become machines for reforming souls. And in this way, they have slightly more to do, a slightly more kind of resemblance to the Gulag system. Though bear in mind, the Gulag system was about trying to create proletarians, trying to bring about a kind of a class-based change in the thinking of its inmates, and trying to also extract as much labour, as much value from workers as possible. Whereas the German camps were about some kind of racial reformation, some racial kind of reclamation, and at least initially, during the later 1930s, as the camps begin to swell and new categories of prisoner emerge, so the focus on reform gradually dims. One interesting aspect that Nicholas Fashman mentions in the book KL is what happened when the Anschluss in 1938, the union between Germany and Austria, occurs. And on the 1st of April, a newly created criminal police office in Vienna sent the first transport of Austrian prisoners, of which many of whom weren't communists, but they were the old members of the political old guard, the political elite in Austria. They sent them to Dachau, and they were singled out for extreme violence and abuse. For a long time, we Austrians were the main attraction in the camp, said the political leader, the nationalist leader, Fritz Buck. But of course, it was Vienna's Jews who were deported to the camps in the largest numbers of the 7,861 Austrian men who were taken to the camps. 80% of them were Jews. The Czech prisoners were treated in largely the same way. But let us come on now to the focus of this podcast, which was the attack on those who were considered to be asocial. So Nicholas Fashman writes, "The pursuit of social deviance was a major part of the Nazi policy of exclusion, aimed at removing all those who did not or could not fit into the mythical national community." So this idea of a people's community, the Volksgemeinschaft, was far from being an egalitarian community of all Germans. It was designed to be a racial community where the German people united in racial struggle. That meant that those who could participate in this were valued, those who could fight or who could work were valued, and those who could not were seen as, as I mentioned this term, social ballast. These were the sort of people who needed to be removed from the race one way or another and who needed to stop being a burden. It was Hitler's contention that it was the weakness of Germany in allowing these people to exist, allowing those who could not fend for themselves to be a drain on the German nation that was partly responsible for the loss of World War One. The approaches to dealing with the poor, the unemployed, the mentally ill, the alcoholic, the depressed, and the generally the chaotic and the unable to cope strata of German society, many of these kind of prejudices and beliefs about the poor predated the Nazis. There were those public officials that had various utopian ideas about finally ending all social ills, of incarcerating people until they learned to function. There were those who were racial thinkers and racial hygienists who believed in the sterilization of the poor. There were those who thought that, as Victorians believed with the workhouse, that by terrorizing the poor, they would suddenly find themselves in gainful employment. They would suddenly decide that living off state handouts was a luxury that they were unable to sustain. So this was a war really waged against the poorest germs and those that existed on the fringes of society, that had begun actually in the Weimar era with cuts in welfare benefits, and those continued into the Nazi era, and constant surveillance, as well as finally in under the Nazis into detention, into the traditional prisons and workhouses, but also finally into concentration camps. Concentration camps were seen in the case of the asocials as being a means of either incarcerating them so they were no longer a nuisance, or trying to get some kind of useful productive labour out of them. Himmler viewed them simply as being members of the criminal classes. Now, it's no doubt likely that many of the asocials had criminal histories, or they had criminal behaviours, partly by necessity, partly through hardship, partly because of an inability to socially function. And some would have been petty criminals part of the time and able to work and function on some level at others. But Himmler, in declaring the asocials criminal, placed them as a kind of a priority. The eradication of criminality was a priority. In 1933, he said this, sort of, so quite early, right at the beginning of the Nazi regime. In the months ahead, he developed this vision of policing as being a kind of a social cleaning task. The early camps were places of detention, retribution and correction. So Nicholas Vashman writes, Himmler's approach altered his model camp, Dachau, already from summer 1933, when the police dragged the first alleged criminals and vagrants inside. Their numbers soon increased after the police arrested tens of thousands of beggars and homeless in nationwide raids in September 1933. Although the authorities quickly released most detainees, some ended up for longer in camps and workhouses. Just a year after the SS had set up Dachau, the composition of its prisoner population had changed markedly. Political prisoners still accounted for the great majority of all Bavarian inmates in protective custody, but their proportion had fallen to around 80% by April 1934, with social outsiders making up the rest. Among them were 142 work-shy men.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
96, national pests, and 82 men accused of asocial behaviour, which could mean all sorts of things. Asocial behaviour could mean perhaps vagrancy, some sort of deviancy, some kind of inability to cope or function in society, perhaps addiction or alcoholism. And that's the point, really, in that it was easy to be accused of asocial behaviour or being work shy by neighbours, by those who believed it was their appointed duty to inform in the interests of the Reich, and for a judge or for a Gestapo man taking an individual into protective custody to agree that this was generally the case and that something must be done. So it is a system based on assumptions, based on prejudice, with no real evidence of any kind of actual need to detain an individual. And the belief was that ultimately the camps would do this individual a lot of good. It would be hard and it would be brutal, but that's what would bring out the best in the individual in the end. Now, there was a fascinating exchange of letters between the Gauleiter of Bavaria, of the governor von Epp, and Himmler. Von Epp was concerned that prisoner numbers were going through the roof in places like Dachau, and he wrote to Himmler saying that there really was no reason for arresting all these kind of random down and outs and people, petty criminals. And that it was destroying the whole point of the camps, which was to target the communists and to break the back of communism and trade unionism in Germany. And Himmler responded to him, saying, "The observation that that imposition of protective custody for alcoholism, firewood theft, embezzlement of monies belonging to organisations, immoral lifestyles, work shirking, etc., does not quite correspond to the letter of the valid regulations is entirely accurate. It does, however, correspond to National Socialist sentiment." So Himmler was happy to say, look, yeah, sure, we're overstepping what the camps are in the letter of the law meant for anyway, and we're doing it right from the get-go. But this is what Nazism really is all about. It is about order. It is about sweeping up the riffraff. It is about punishment. It is about ensuring that the right kinds of German people are produced and that those that cannot fit into this system should be crushed by it. As far as Himmler was concerned, it was National Socialist sentiment, it was the values of Nazism that were far more important than anything else. That these dealt a kind of a killer blow to any other consideration, and that they came above the law, that the spirit of Nazism was better and was more significant and important than any kind of legal consideration or anything that was put forward by any pettifogging bureaucrat. Himmler also argued that the courts were incapable of dealing effectively with asocial people. He believed that the courts handed down slap-on-the-wrist sentences and petty fines for miscreant behaviour, and that the individuals continued to re-offend and make a general nuisance of themselves. And so the only way to deal with them was to take them out of society permanently and to place them in the camps where they would be regimented for possibly years, perhaps even for the rest of their lives. And Himmler pointed out in his own kind of limited fashion that this had led to a dramatic decline in crime in Bavaria. And I suppose in one way you could say that it had, but in another way one could argue that crime had simply been nationalised and now the great criminal was the state. Because Himmler and ultimately Hitler were the great authorizers of policy, across Germany, initiatives to criminalize the poor came from below. They became grassroots initiatives that sprung up almost spontaneously without the general direction of the Nazi leadership. In Hamburg, in 1933-34, there were hundreds of asocial people, pimps, beggars, and homeless people who were arrested, along with thousands of female prostitutes. Many women who had had to resort to prostitution to survive the Great Depression. These were individuals who were arrested en masse. Nazi officials across Germany took part in what was known in September to October 1933 as the Beggar Raid, and the first concentration camp exclusively for beggars was established at Meseritz in Posen. Indefinite sentences were handed down from November 1933 onwards for persistent habitual criminals. The judges were able to give defendants custodial sentences that would then be followed by an open-ended security confinement. So one would go to prison for 5 years or 3 years or whatever it was, and thereafter you'd be transported from prison to a concentration camp. And by 1939, 10,000 of these sentences had been passed, and they were basically passed against minor thieves and burglars, the poor, basically, those who, through economic circumstances, were forced to steal, or those who had grown up in cultures of criminal behaviour and that sort of thing. Prussian police officers didn't think that the law was particularly useful, and they thought that it was only targeted at those who would be found guilty of committing new crimes. They believed that in order to deal with the professional criminals who couldn't be brought to court due to the insufficient evidence, and in order to do this, and Hermann Göring agreed, and in order to do this, preventative police custody was introduced in November 1933. And that meant that the Prussian criminal police could hold on to people they considered to be professional criminals and place them in state concentration camps without a trial or sentence, meaning that arbitrary arrests on the streets were possible and happened on a regular basis. And it was the allegation that the person had some kind of alleged criminal intent that was the damning factor, and that's all the Prussian state police needed. When the Prussian criminal police gained these laws, they didn't actually envisage mass arrests. However, that is ultimately what occurred. The senior police officers were sure that there was just a small group of hardcore offenders who were responsible for most crimes against property, most burglaries, and that the arrest of a few of them would deter the others. However, the initial limit on prisoners arrested was 165. This was quickly raised to 525 at first. These men were gathered in Lichtenberg, where soon they actually made up a majority of the inmates in prison. The small number of arrests, despite the small number of arrests, the Prussian initiative showed that there was a radical new approach to what we think of as being preventative policing. And this was something that could be rolled out across the nation in future. One of the practical applications of the removal of asocials from the streets was the presentation of Germany as a clean and civilized and progressive nation during the 1936 Berlin Olympics. In Bavaria, there were 300 beggars and vagabonds in the summer of 1936 who were sent to Dachau. On top of this, the authorities were looking for what they referred to as indecent individuals. So prostitutes, for example, were taken to Moringen camp. Nicholas Vashtman gives the example of one prostitute called Minna K, she's referred to as, a 45-year-old who had been arrested many times before and was accused of drunken attempts to capture women, capture men in seedy bars, and this undermining police efforts to keep the town's streets and establishments clean in moral respect, and thereby endangering public order and the Nazi state. So these were people who were ultimately harmless, and whose lives were often, well, almost always, chaotic and already highly damaged, and they were not considered to fit into the new racial model of Germany or be part of the new public face of Germany. And of course, it goes without saying that the conditions for the asocial inmates of the camps, for those who were still incarcerated when the war began, deteriorate substantially over that period. Okay, well, thanks very much for listening, and I hope you found that useful and interesting. I'll catch you on the next Explaining History podcast. Do remember to subscribe to this channel, and if you can support us at all by visiting our Patreon page, I would be very grateful. Anyway, thanks very much for your time, and I look forward to speaking to you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.